Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Jana Yamuna Tiravanachare, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Vanachare, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Jaya Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Jaya Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravanachare, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Yamuna Tiravanachare, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we continue studying Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, and it's called Status Quo, first chapter, questions by Vidura, and today's verse number 16. First chapter, 3.1.16.
So you missed two lines.
No, it's here. Oh, it's well, strange, yeah. But in the book, there is no such. Oh, you know, it's flipped, you know.
Okay.
Strange. So how are we going to read?
So, no,
so the third line is the first line here.
What's the Sanskrit? Could you pull that up into the Sanskrit?
The word meaning, was well, the word meaning probably will start.
Okay. Well, the Sanskrit is Sahitam, so it is according to the line.
Okay, so I'll do it like this, yeah? Saitham Matyubana Karna Banair Itamatyobanakarnaba Saitamatyobanakarnaba Dato vyato yato rumanayana Was it? Swayam danur dari nidhaya mayam Swayam danur dvari nidhaya mayam Bratu puro marma sutaritopi Saitamatyo banakarna banair Gatavyato yaturu manayana So it's totally wrong?
If there are more, it's the second one.
Oh, there it is. Wow. So okay, chant please. Thank you. So at first I thought maybe nobody understand my thick Russian accent with the Sanskrit. The first time in my life that, meeting that verse is wrong. Also in the translation I have a question about the translation, but probably those who know English. Huh?
Just pretty much
Yeah. Okay. Swayam. He himself, Danur Dvari, bow on the door, Nidhaya, keeping, Mayam, the external nature, Bratuhu, brothers, Puraha, from the palace, Marmasu, in the core of the heart, Taditaha, been afflicted, api, in spite of, saha, he, vidura, idham, like this, ati ulbana, severely, karna, ear, banaihi, by the arrows, gatavyathaha, without being sorry. Ayat, excited. Uru, great. Manayanaha, so thinking. Translation in Purva by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thus being pierced by arrows through his ears, and afflicted to the core of his heart, Vidura placed his bow on the door and quit his brother's palace. He was not sorry, for he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. Yeah, the question is about the English. Vidura placed his bow on the door. It's supposed to be at the door, or you know, we saw the picture that Pushkar Prabhu the other day told that devotee Bharadraj painted the picture that the bow stands at the door, or by the door. Yeah, at the door, by the, but not on the door. He just hung it on the door, right? Okay. Purport. A pure devotee of the Lord is never perturbed by an awkward position created by the external energy of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 3:27 it is stated, Prakriti kriya manani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The conditioned soul is absorbed in material existence under the influence of different modes of external energy. Absorbed in the false ego, he thinks that he is doing everything by himself. The external energy of the Lord, the material nature, is fully under the control of the Supreme Lord, and the conditioned soul is fully under the grip of the external energy. Therefore, the conditioned soul is fully under the control of the law of the Lord. But due to illusion only, he thinks himself independent in his activities. Duryodhana was acting under such influence of the external nature by which he would be vanquished at the ultimate end. He could not accept the sound advice of Vidura, but on the contrary, he insulted that great soul who was the well-wisher of his whole family. Vidura could understand this because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. In spite of being very strongly insulted by Duryodhana's words, Vidura could see that Duryodhana, under the influence of Maya, the external energy, was making progress on the path toward his own ruination. He, therefore, considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. Yet he also saw how the internal energy of the Lord helped him in that particular situation. A devotee is always in a renounced temperament because the worldly attractions can never satisfy him. Vidura was never attracted by the royal palace of his brother. He was always ready to leave the place and devote himself completely to the transcendental love and service of the Lord. Now he got the opportunity by the grace of Duryodhana, and instead of being sorry at the strong words of insult, he thanked him from within because it gave him the chance to live alone in the holy place and fully engage in devotional service of the Lord. The word gata vyathaha, without being sorry, is significant here because Vidura was relieved from the tribulations which trouble every man entangled in material activities. He therefore thought that there was no need to defend his brother with his bow because his brother was meant for ruination. Thus he left the palace before Duryodhana could act. Maya, the supreme energy of the Lord, acted here both internally and externally. Om Gyana Timiram Desya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nirthamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Ahyam Dadacha Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Deva Cha Patita Nam Pavana Bhyo Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadathar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dear devotees, please give me your blessings so I could speak something. Without blessings, I cannot do anything. Without devotees' blessings and Lord's blessings. Hare Krishna, thank you. So here we see the scene, how Vidura taking renunciation. So today we will speak about the powers of word, powers of tone, and also we'll talk about the Ahankara, how it acts and what it gives in our life. So as we see here that actually devotee can see everything, whatever happened in his life, whatever happened in his life as a mercy of the Lord. When I read this, that verse, also came to my mind that everybody knows that how Srila Prabhupada renounced. When he come back to his home and he saw that his Srimad Bhagavatam is missing. And he asked his wife, "Where is my Bhagavatam? Can you help me find it?" And she said, "Well, maybe she sell it for the cookies for to the tea, right?" So, and Srila Prabhupada explained that since that, he just renounced his family and decided to dedicate his life totally to the preaching of the holy name. So actually, whatever happens in devotee's life, he sees as a mercy of the Lord. And we can see also, like Pandavas also, they had trouble after trouble after trouble in their life. All the time, they only a little bit they just enjoyed their kingdom, but the most of the time they just suffer from this or from that. Queen Kunti also prays that please we got a taste for that because you are with us always, so please send us calamities so we can remember you. And of course we shouldn't ask for that. But at least whatever comes to our life, we should thank the Lord. Because whatever has happened, it's not coincidentally. It's always happened with a deep meaning in our life. For example, those devotees who got into prison in USSR, and they say, if you ask them, they say that the life in the prison was the best part of their life, you know, because they were so sincere and got the opportunity to preach. Because of that, many prisoners become devotees after that. Not many, but some. But they feel that they had like pleasure preaching in in that bad situations. So the main purpose that when bad things comes to our life, not to pray to Krishna to punish those who insulted me. So we should keep humble attitude all the time, because when we if we humbly endure all the reproaches and insults, I become dear to Krishna. We become dear to Krishna. Because when Krishna sees that he humbly accept everything, like Lord Brahma says, this famous verse, 10:14:8. How it begins? Tatenu kam pam su samikshamano punjana ivatma kritam vipakam hridvat vak purbir vidadham namaste jivete yomukti pade sadaya bhak. Something like that. So if we want to become dear to Krishna, we have to keep that in mind. But in this scene that we see that Vidura is taking a renunciation, the most scary thing for us, if we would do the same thing, that we live in that situation of our family, and the most scared that we don't know where to step in. Because if we don't develop our relationship with Krishna, then we have a fear to step into renounce order of life, and we kind of we trying to renounce materialistic life, and we don't know to step in into the spiritual life. That's why it's important to develop relationship with Krishna, so it will be very easy and tasteful for us to step into that renounce order of life. So in order to that, we have to develop that relationship through the devotees, through the studying the scripture, through all kind of spiritual practice, and we have to do it with the attitude to please Krishna. Just like this famous verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. What's this? When I sit here, I always forget all the verses, sorry. what's the verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which explains if you do it favorably for Krishna? Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma jnanavritam anukulina krishna no shalam bhakti ruttama. So if we develop this attitude toward Krishna with this giving up all the karma and jnana, so it will be a very sweet experience to renounce and to go deeper into spiritual life. Like Vidura, it is explained that he was not sorry, and actually he was happy. He was happy to finally give up all this his brother's kingdom and surrender to the Lord and stay alone or go to pilgrimage, different holy places. He was happy because he had a relationship with the Lord. So talking about Duryodhana, who used this sharp arrow-like words towards Vidura. So it gives us lessons that actually the power of the tone, the power of the word, the power of the speech is very, very powerful. You know, the tone can make us happy, the tone make us sorrowful. The tone can bring, it can create the enemies, the tone create the friends. So it depends what we speak, because the words has a, there is a saying that the wounds from the sword revive faster than the wounds coming from the words, from the speech. you can even kill someone with your words, or you can inspire someone with your words. And there is a famous example, you know, why Mahabharata, Kurukshetra, Battle of Kurukshetra starts only with the one phrase of Draupadi. Remember that story when the when Duryodhana came to Indraprastha, and he fell into the water. Remember, first he was put up his dhoti, thinking that this is the water, but there is no water there. And when he think there's no water, and there is a water, and he fell into the water. And Draupadi saw that. Draupadi saw that, and she laughed loudly, and she just gave few words. She said, "Blind father has a blind son," and that's it. And Duryodhana couldn't forgive, and he couldn't forget. And when the Pandavas trying to get at least five villagers, and Duryodhana's remembering that, he said, "No, I will not give even one pinch." What's that? the center pinch of the, of the needle. Because he remembered that. Draupadi didn't hold her, her tongue, but he, because he loved her too. And because of that, so, for example, if you have a leadership position, you should think twice before speaking saying something, because words has a, if especially if you have some followers or that's very important too. And to do that, in order to keep the mouth shut. Sorry for my English. You have to do austerity. Krishna explained that austerity of the speech in the 17th chapter, 15th verse of Bhagavad Gita. He explained that austerity of the speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitative to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. So, the same thing, if we follow this austerity of the speech, our speech becomes very powerful. The vice versa, if we are not austere in the speech, our talk will be not so meaningful and important. If we compare this to the body, for example, if we not fasting on Ekadashi, so if we eat all the time eat, so our endure course of time, our body becomes weak. Weaker and weaker, because the toxins keep increasing in our body. But when we fast, so these toxins burning out, and in this way our body becomes stronger and stronger and healthy. The same thing with the speech. If we have this austerity of the speech, speech will become very powerful. The austerity of the speech. So that's why the civilized person should speak only for the benefit of other living entities. That's very important. The speech which is not disappointing, the speech which is elevating person. When we do that, when we speak softly and for the benefit of others, our heart becomes like soft like a butter. And the vice versa, if we speak harshly, if we speak bad words, our heart becomes like a stone. When you can see also, if you speak bad words, your mind get agitated very much. And you give agitation to others, and you give agitation to yourself. Plus to that, these harsh words return like boomerang to you with 100 times more than you insulted others. And we can see that Duryodhana, he had a horrible death, you know. When the Bhima, he didn't kill him totally, but he killed him half. And he was alive, and he was lying down with the broken thigh, and the jackals came to him and took the flesh out of his body one by one, and he was alive, feeling all that thing. His death was terrible. Beneficial words that we can say is preach about Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said also, if you don't speak nonsense, if you preach to Krishna consciousness to other people, it's also like Mauna Vrata. You don't speak nonsense. It's Mauna Vrata, also the austerity of the mind. It's one of the conditions to make your mind sublime. But sometimes the sadhus, they have to talk harsh words. Harsh words to, in order to liberate people. Just like we see that Vidura, feeling compassion toward his brother, he came back after 37 years, deciding to deliver his brother because he have heard that his brother Dhritarashtra is still living in Yudhishthira's palace. So he decided to come back and drag him out of this bad situation. And you know, he used very harsh and very bad words. You know, he even he said, "How come that you living for so many years in your enemy's palace, and they feed you, and you are like a dog?" You know, in Vedic society, calls your senior as a dog is very insulting, because well, even now, if you call someone dog, he will be offended, right? Even though in our culture, unfortunately, the dogs have a very elevated position, but still, still, if you call him a dog, he will be insulted. But no, Vidura, he's crushed his false ego, and because of that, because Vidura could understand that if I would come to him and say, just, "Hey, Dhritarashtra, how you doing? Everything is okay?" And yeah, Dhritarashtra said, "Yeah, I'm okay. Everything is all right. You know, the emperor of the world, Maharaj Yudhishthira, comes to me, bow down every day, and he brings me the food on a golden plate. I'm happy here. I'm okay." But no, Vidura decided to chastise him, to drag him out, to awake him from that situation. He used the hard word, hard. Sometimes we could understand, we don't understand sometimes the role of a sadhu. Sometimes the people think, "Oh, I could come and get the blessing from the sadhu." And he said, "Tatastu, be as you like, as you can do as you like, everything will be all right." So, no, but sadhu, real sadhu, he can do a harsh word. And Srila Prabhupada also remembers himself in his life. When I remember that when he came with his friend to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he started not chastising him, but he said, "Whatever you do is useless. You better preach Lord Chaitanya's mission worldwide in English." And Srila Prabhupada remembers that he felt defeated, but that victory from the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati side was very sweet to him, and he decided, yeah, this is a real sadhu. So another story that Shachinand Maharaj remembers in his remembrance, that when he just joined and he was in a London temple, Srila Prabhupada came, and at that time he had a very bad situation in his life. You know, his grandfather was dying at that time, and his girlfriend, grandfather's dying, and calling him to come back and stay by his bedside to take care of him. And the girlfriend came from Hamburg, from Germany, came to drag him out of, because he was a kind of brahmachari or just joined, and he was cleaning the pots first few months, and it's a very bad situation. He, at the same time, he wanted to surrender, and he wanted to also to go back to, well, he had some attachments to his previous life. So, when Srila Prabhupada came to London, he started a class, and in his mind, Shachinand Maharaj, he was thinking, well, if I catch him by asking a controversial question, I could decide what to do. If he will his answer was contradictory, I would go back to material life. If he will convince me, I will stay. So after the class, he was preparing, and he asked Srila Prabhupada on the class. So we know that Krishna is all beneficial, and he taking care of all the living entities. He is all auspicious. Srila Prabhupada said yes, but why he then created the Maya? Why the Maya who give us so much suffering? And you know, as Sajjanand Maharaj explains, Srila Prabhupada didn't understand his question because of his thick German accent. And he asked Shyama Sundar, what he saying? What he saying? Srila Prabhupada didn't understand. So a few times he asked, what he saying? Then Srila Prabhupada understood. And he said, Krishna didn't create Maya, you created Maya. And Sajjanand Maharaj said, well, I'm so young and I didn't know that I created something. I didn't actually create anything, but he said that I created the Maya. So everybody started laughing in the temple room. But he didn't laugh. He started crying. And he said, well, he made a vow. Okay, he conquered me. This sadhu, he conquered me. At that time, he had a very long hair, like hippies do. And he was very proud of this hair, of his hairs. So, and he decided to surrender and cut his hair and shave. So he said, well, Srila Prabhupada, you defeated my material attachments. Okay, so talking about ahankara, which Srila Prabhupada explains thoroughly in this in his purport. So we have to understand this very subtle and very important meaning of ahankara. Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, actually the Bhagavad Gita, the battle of Kurukshetra and Bhagavad Gita was told to Arjuna for one reason, to relieve from ahankara, from false ego, Arjuna. Arjuna should give up his false ego and fight. That's the only purpose that Krishna made him, told him the whole Bhagavad Gita, give up his false ego, his ahankara. So, and when, and you know, this very good book, who read it maybe, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he wrote this wonderful book, Die Before Dying. And in that book, he explaining that if we kill our false ego while living in this world, we will get all the success in life. If we would live in this world without false ego, killing our false ego. So this false ego is. If we have it, this false ego entangles us in the material world, in the karma, in all kinds of things which are connected to the karma in this material world. You know, there is one beautiful story from the Puranas, very wonderful story, how because of ahankara, we can, well, anyway, I can start and you will understand. So there is one Brahmana who studied Vedic scriptures very nicely. And at the same time, he had the garden that he's trying to develop, the garden. He was like, he loved the special flowers, special, very rare plants he grew in his garden. And he was very happy and very proud of his garden. And because it's very rare plants there, and nobody else had these plants. Very beautiful, very fragrant. He worshipped Krishna with that fragrant. Once upon the time, he was in his garden, and the cow came to his garden and started eating that rare plants, which he grows. He spent many, many years growing, actually, that garden. Many years. He spent a lot of endeavors. And one day he saw all of a sudden Also, the cow had this ahankara thinking, oh, very nice garden for me, very beautiful, beautiful plants I can eat. So she started eating. And this brahmana saw, and all of a sudden he just pick up the stone and throw in that cow to scare her. But all of a sudden he got it into the head, and the cow died. The cow died, and he said, oh, what am I done? What to do? So he looked around, nobody saw it, so he decided to bury that cow, and thinking maybe nobody see, and maybe something, nothing happened. So he buried that that cow, and in due course of time, the Yamadutas came to him. And he saw the Yamadutas and said, oh, why have you come? I'm a pure Brahmana, I'm studying the Vedas. Well, Yamaduta said, well, we came here to drag you to the hellish planets because you killed the cow. What about the killing the cow? Although you're studying the scriptures, everything's okay, but you killed the cow, you have to suffer now. And because he was studying the Shastras, he knew how to argue with the Yamadutas. He said, well, you know, it's not me. It's not me, it's Indra. Indra is guilty with that. Because we know from the scriptures that the soul doesn't move, doesn't do anything in this world. Only the gunas and the demigods. Indra, what Indra do? Indra, he help our body to move. Indra in charge of that. So you go to Indra and take him to the hell. I'm not guilty with that, Indra. So Yamadutas, they didn't know at that time how to argue because they didn't do Bhakti Shastras, they didn't get the second initiation, they didn't know anything. So they went back to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj said, well, you didn't do anything? Okay, I will show you, I will teach you the lesson. So he, Yamaraj, he changed his body to a brahmana's body and went to this brahmana's garden. And he went to that garden and started walking through the garden and trying to glorify that brahmana. He said, oh, so excited. Oh, first time I see that rare, very rare plants. How did you do that? And who did that? And said, well, of course, me. I did it. Didn't you know? I did it for many years. I put so much endeavor and strength in that. And he said, oh, and what about this rare sort of mango? I never saw it. It's not ordinary person could do that. He said, Brahman said, well, of course, not ordinary person couldn't do that. I'm not ordinary person. I did that. I did that. And Yamara said, okay, and who killed the cow? He said, so at the time, he understood that he got caught. He did all this good thing, but he didn't do bad thing. So this is ahankara. And that's very important, very subtle subtle thing, subtle line. Arjuna killed on a battlefield millions of people, but he didn't do it out of false ego, out of ahankara, and he remained pure out of that. So it's very subtle, and we have to understand, not that we shouldn't kill everybody thinking that I'm not this, I don't have any ahankara, I can kill anybody, no. But we have to understand that the main permissioner who sanction everything is a Paramatma, and if we do it out of service to Krishna, we don't entangle in our karma. We could remain pure like a lotus in the water. So everybody is very proud of whatever they have. Because of that pride, they get entangled in the karma reactions. And the karmas will turn around, give all kinds of good and bad results. Because we identify with this body and false ego. Whatever we do, we get entangled. Also, there is a good story also from the Puranas. There is a three demons who were very undefeatable. Whatever they do, they defeat everybody. They get they kind of got this benediction. Whatever they do, they fight, they always conquer. And once they even conquer Indra. And Indra, he started, he went to one sage and started complaining. He's saying, I don't know what to do. Can you give me advice how to conquer these demons? Nobody can conquer them. Even I cannot do it. Can you help me? So the sage said, okay, I can help you, but first you have to figure it out, find out what was the mean, what was their reason, what the root cause of their benediction, what their blessings. You have to find out. So he Indra knew how to do that. So he sent some demigoddess to find out what was the problem. Well, I mean, what was the reason for their of their victory. So they she went and find out that actually the reason why they conquer everybody because these three demons understood totally this verse from Bhagavad Gita 3:27 that Srila Prabhupada explains in gives in this purport prakriti kriyamana ni gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. So they understood that if you act without false ego, without ahankara, you can get all the success. So they not just read this, but they understood it, and they just engage this verse in their life, and they conquer everybody. So Indra went with this information. Indra went to the sage to ask how to solve this problem. So the sage said, "This is very simple. How to conquer these demons. You just, what you do, you just come to these demons to fight, and when they start fighting you back, you just run away from them and glorify them. Oh, how did you do that? I was so weak and you so strong, and how you're wonderful fighters, you're wonderful, you're great warriors, and do it many, many times. Many times you try to attack them, and if they start to attack you back, you just run away from them many times. So the first time Indra did that, he fight them and run away from them, and they scratched their heads, said something wrong with the Indra, what he's doing. Second time he went fight again with them, and they start thinking, oh, actually we are really very powerful. Even Indra surrendered to us. So, and the third time he came to fight with them, they started thinking, oh, now we can conquer all the world. So they got pride. And when they got pride, they forgot this verse. They forgot the Maya covered them, their intelligence, and Indra conquered them. You know that subtle, very subtle line, yeah? If you do it with ahankara, you get all loss. If you do it without ahankara, you will get all the success and achievements in this world. Also, there is another story. Sorry, it's too many stories, but it's very short. Benjamin Franklin, in his memoirs, he gives very interesting story how in his memoirs he explains how in his childhood I can start the story and you can understand the meaning. So once when he was only a schoolboy, maybe 7 or 8 years old, I'm not sure how old he was. He was walking towards his school, and on the way he went inside the smith shop. Smith, those who work with the metal. You know, you understand that smith?
Blacksmith.
Blacksmiths. So he went to inside that blacksmith's shop, and blacksmith saw this boy. At that day, he didn't have any helper to help that blacksmith, because the helper, he was like sick or something, he didn't show up that day. And he, Benjamin Franklin, remember, he went inside, and this blacksmith start glorifying him. "Oh, you're a very nice, beautiful boy. You're a very intelligent boy, and I know you probably know you like to work. I mean, and you probably the best pupil in your whole school, your best student." So he started glorifying. And he, Benjamin Franklin think, "Well, yeah, I'm probably, yeah, I'm one of the good ones in the school." And the blacksmith said, "You don't go to the school today. You just hold this metal and you help me for a while." So he spent 3 hours working for that blacksmith. And all this time, blacksmith glorifying him, how he was special, how he was good, how he liked to work, and one of the best. And when after 3 hours working for free, he walk out and start thinking, what just happened? I just worked for this guy for 3 hours and he just glorified me. I was thinking, well, I was working hard like a donkey. It's not easy work, you know, blacksmith. It's hard work. And for 3 hours he was working like ass, like a donkey. So in his memoirs he writes that any time that anybody comes to me and start flattering me, start glorifying me, I start thinking that something is not pure here. He wants something from me, this guy. He wants from me. So since that childhood he had this experience. Because false ego gives us the impetus to work hard for this world. Yeah, I'm great, I'm good, I'm the best of all. Yeah, okay. So no, but if you think like that, you will be in trouble. You will be, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, vimudha. Mudha is a fool, and vimudha, big fool, big donkey. Vimudha. So, but the only only ahankara, the proper ahankara, should be a remembrance that we servant of Krishna, eternal servant of Krishna. In that mind, state of mind, we can achieve all kind of success. Sorry for my English, dear devotees. Sorry for torturing you. Thank you very much. Maybe somebody has a question or comments. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna. Enjoyed your class and your stories. Thank you very much. That's all.
Thank you.
Hare Balam. Earlier you were talking about speech. Sometimes I try to get Keshav to laugh, you know, to get out of his dementia kind of. But to do that, I have to talk nonsense. See, so sometimes we travel to Gainesville or so, and I just talk nonsense, and then he's laughing all the time. See, so, but the thing is, I mean, you know, I'm doing it as like therapy, you know. The more he laughs, he gets out of the situation. But at the same time, I mean, it seems dangerous for us too. I mean, for me, you know, because really, I'm talking. What's your say on it?
Say last phrase. What you said?
I say, I mean, what's your advice on that?
Advice to you. Well, you just talk to encourage him in devotional service. Whatever you talk is to encourage, even could be laughing. The most important thing to remember is always remember Krishna and try to benefit with your speech, anybody. And of course, we know Keshava has a special treatment. Should be for Keshava.
I got a quick point.
This
morning, Madananda told me, like the other day, I made a comment that the Mahabharata says that Duryodhana was Kali personified, but Madananda said she read in another scripture that Duryodhana's name was Kali in his past life, and he was a devotee of Lord Balaram, or Ananta Shesha. And he was sent to do that job, you know, act like the manik in that way. And she also said that was why he was close to Balaram, you know. So it kind of makes sense, really. Huh?
I even heard that, you know, he didn't want to become Kali personified like Duryodhana, but the demons come around him and start talking to him, encouraging him. Yeah, no, you should do that mission. Yeah. That's your mission, should be.
Something like that. Yeah. But Madananda had more explanation about the whole thing. I hope she'll relate it to you.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your nice class. So you're talking about Draupadi's, her speech. So we do understand that Mahabharata was, this was our Lord Krishna's desire for it to happen. But seeing on another level, my question to you is that, is a Draupadi's speech, like you explained, that got Duryodhan mad, and so the Mahabharata happened? So is it Draupadi's speech that caused it, or is it Duryodhan's or Dhritarashtra's attachment?
It's both.
It's both.
Yeah, it's many reasons actually come at one place in order to happen that Kurukshetra happened. And also we know Mahabharata actually, the Mahabharata has three levels of understanding. Three levels you can understand from
many different levels.
Many points of view. Yeah, so many.
So Draupadi also in some sense contributed to that.
Yeah, so many people killed, millions of people killed because of just one phrase.
Thank you.
Yes, Mother Gatnika.
You know the concept of sour grapes. I was thinking, so it appears when someone like Vidura, he took renunciation because it was he was offended, it was distasteful, you know. Prabhupada was offended by what his wife did, and he became determined now to it appears that that's kind of like sour grapes. So how deep is that? You know, I'm not trying to criticize Prabhupada at all, but you know, there many times it seems an incident will happen to I've had enough of this, you know, or something like sour grapes. How is that not genuine? How is that not, well, it appears that it's kind of false renunciation. You get the what I'm driving at?
Yeah, trying to think.
It seems like there has to be some, it's a series of sour grapes.
Yeah, well.
Of course, one has to have a higher taste to truly go for renunciation.
Well, it could be many, many things. From the other side, Srila Prabhupada's god brothers always encouraged him to take sannyas. Probably this one was the last drop. maybe he was thinking already for a lot about that. But this was the last drop that she did, and he decided to. And he got initiation. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
Yeah, that's a good.
Anybody else?
I just wanted to say,
I think you mentioned very nicely in the class what Madhurgatka is saying, that Vidura, to renounce is one thing, but to have attachment towards Krishna is another. So if you renounce, you renounce, but if you don't have attachment, you're not going to go there. So like you mentioned that, yeah, there was some impetus to renounce, but the idea is what you do after you, you know, unless that is not cultivated in the heart. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, we have to, yeah, gradually to develop this taste. And so at the time of death, we could embrace this. Yeah, finally, I could go back to Krishna. Yeah.
And it might be one incident that just compels.
Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Gaura Premanande.